We're going to go ahead and get started. My name is Ryan Burke. I work with the National Economic Council, and I helped to launch the Tech Hire Initiative almost 2 years ago now. So to start off, and most of my remarks will focus on two feelings that I think are things that kind of every human has experienced and really get at the core of Tech Hire. So I'll start with a story about myself. When I was in third grade, I moved to a new school. And I was put in a remedial math class. They had three levels of math, and I was put in the lowest level. And I immediately thought I was good at math. At my old school, I was good at math, but they must see something in me that says that I'm not. So I went home over the weekend, and I went through the math workbook, and I finished the workbook that we were supposed to do in a semester's time in just 2 days. I gave it back to my teacher, and she put me in a higher level class. Looking back at that experience, I feel so frustrated. Frustrated that, you know, someone kind of assumed something about my potential without really understanding my capabilities and taking a harder look at me. So if everybody could close their eyes. I see a lot of you not closing your eyes. Okay, that's better. So I want you all to think back to a time in your own life, similar to the story that I described. A time when you knew you were capable, you knew you had the kind of motivation and ability to get something done, but someone didn't believe in you. And that held you back. Think about how that made you feel. And think about what you did about it. Okay, you can open your eyes. So my guess is everyone in this room has had this sort of feeling, but probably the stakes were pretty low in the situation that you were facing. What Tech Hire shows is that for some people, the stakes are much higher. I'll give an example that the president used when he announced the initiative of a woman named LaShawna Lewis. LaShawna grew up in East St. Louis. She always had a passion for computers, taught herself to code in high school, and went on to get a CS degree from a university. But halfway through her trying to get her degree, her mom passed away. She had to drop out to take care of her brothers and sisters. And LaShawna worked for about 10 years in odd jobs, things like bus driving, customer service, and then finally was in a position to be able to go back and pursue her passions. She had the skills. She applied for over 100 jobs at different companies throughout St. Louis and couldn't even get an interview. LaShawna had the ability. She knew she had the ability, but the companies wouldn't give her a chance. And then LaShawna hooked up with an organization called Launch Code. They assessed her ability. They used technical assessments, interviews, and they saw her potential and saw what she could do. They matched her up to an employer MasterCard, and she did a 6-month apprenticeship, and she's now been hired as a senior software engineer for MasterCard. She's been there for about 2 years and was really able to do that through that organization. Unfortunately, LaShawna's story is not unique. There are millions of people in this country who struggled early on in life, hit a bad spell, and just can't seem to get on kind of that pathway to opportunity. And that's kind of one of the big pieces of Tech Hire. Mark Andreessen has a great quote saying, "Whether you believe the robots are going to take all of our jobs depends on, at its core, what you think about human potential." And I think there's a lot of untapped human potential that's a big economic opportunity. So the second feeling I want you to think about, I'll tell another story about myself. When I was younger, I used to go to church. Did anybody go to church or any sort of organized religion? Okay, that's more than I expected in this room. See, I'm stereotyping now, it's awful. So I grew up in Atlanta, I went to church, and I think I was similar age, probably around fifth grade, like that awkward time when, especially as a girl, you're like super insecure and wondering whether people like you. And my parents took me to one church, and you know, you go into the youth group room, there's like hundreds of people singing songs, talking about and using words that I had never heard, and I just felt super alone and awkward sitting there by myself in a room where everyone seemed to get the material better than me, be more excited, and have just kind of this network of friends. I felt super out of place. We wound up going to another church about a year later in a new town. And at that church, when I entered the youth group room, I immediately had somebody come up to me, ask who I was, try to get to know me, tell me what it was about, bring me in. They had a dinner for newcomers that night. And I really started to feel like I was a part of something and that I wasn't other from those people. So I think that is just another example of, you know, when we think about tech hire, a big piece and something I'm sure Megan will talk about is, you know, in so many places we have one city, but two super different communities living even blocks away. And so, you know, these awesome kind of tech innovation, Megan would call it like Burning Man, TED style economies, and then, you know, people who are living in extreme poverty and are you know, worried about whether they're going to get their next meal and, you know, whether their parents going to be violent to them. So what Tech Hire is about is kind of bringing those together, but I think that kind of social fabric and people feeling like I did in the second church versus the first one is a really important piece of that. So just to give folks a sense, I think a lot of you have been doing this work for a while, but the three main components of Tech Hire are, one, companies open up hiring pathways to non-traditional talent. So people who may have the skills and ability to do jobs in technology, but may not have a typical background, which is pretty different from the way they're doing things today. The second is fast-track training that's tightly linked to what employers are hiring for. I think when people think about tech hire, they often think coding boot camps, and those are great. But the real crux of it is if they are teaching people things that they actually need to get jobs and that employers recognize that. So that could be an online course with the appropriate supports. It could be a community college. It could be a university after hours program. There are a lot of different conceptions of that. And then the last piece is really building this kind of ecosystem and community with these kind of four players coming together. And that's why we're really excited about the folks in this room and the community building. So the companies, the training providers, leadership from cities, and really kind of community organizers in different cities around the country. So Tech Hire, where we are now, we've shown that this model can work. About 6,000 people have or are going through training right now. 4,000 people have been placed into jobs. We've been oversubscribed. There was a Tech Hire program launched in Eastern Kentucky that had 10 slots for former coal miners. 400 people applied. And companies are really starting to hire in this new way, companies like G Digital, Capital One, and the list goes on. So the big question is, you know, what's next? And I think a lot of people, when they ask me that question, they look very sad and I think kind of dejected and worried given recent events. And I am not that worried about this program, actually, because the magic of tech hire, like, there's really no magic about the White House doing this, right? We have a good brand, convening power, and we issued a call to action, but the real work and impact is happening kind of in places like Albuquerque, Eastern Kentucky, New York City, from people deciding that they care about this, they think it's important, and they want to go and get it done. So that's our hope coming out of today with each of you. I think we often think like a number like 4,000 jobs, wow, that's so small, but this is going to start small. So go back and try to get five people, you know, who haven't had these opportunities placed into jobs. Try to get one employer to think differently. Build a relationship with someone who may feel super left out of the tech community right now, but you reaching out makes the difference to them. And so I hope, you know, today isn't just a great last session at the White House. I hope it's really the start of something where you guys are thinking through the difference that you individually can make and the network that you can build with each other to lean on and really get this done. So thanks for being here, and I'll turn it over to Megan Smith.
Thanks, Brian. Hello. It's great to be with you guys. Set this down. So someone stuck this piece of paper. Kelly and our team found it in a report. And I thought it was such a cool quote to start with. It's from Teddy Roosevelt, who is the reason why the West Wing started the building, because he needed an office. You know, the kids took the horse to the second floor. I think he was like, "I need an office." Okay, so far away and away, the best prize that life has to offer is the chance to work hard at work worth doing, right? How's that feel? It's an amazing feeling when you're doing extraordinary things and you're on teams that just are making a difference in the world and whatever it is that you're passionate about. And one of the things that's so exciting about living right now is that we're coming into a time of sort of almost an age of creativity. So we published another report on artificial intelligence last night. The president always says, "We're not afraid of the future." And he pushes us really hard. to really get into the conversations. There were a lot of conversations about a year ago, kind of about this robot apocalypse, and people were really nervous about what could happen. And we none of us can predict the future, so we don't know. But let's not be afraid of it, and let's step right into it and design what we want it to be like. And what it should be like is something where all of the 7 billion people in the world are included in a way that their talent is really mobilized, and they're doing the things that they want to do, and they're bringing it every day in the way they want to do that. And we don't know exactly what that looks like, but we definitely want that, and we want that certainly for our country and for other countries too. And so really, if you look across at all the different elections that are happening, in some ways, they're about making sure that everybody's in. You know, how do we make sure everybody's in? And the conversations, it doesn't really matter what part of the conversation or who you're there. Everybody's kind of talking about how do we make sure everybody's included in the economic possibilities and the social possibilities and being equal in the future. This is such a great photo from Science Fair. President Obama started hosting the science fairs, so we've done 6 of them. These are these little girls, I think they're first grade or kindergarten, and they had built a prototype. They had built a page-turning robot. And so they were talking to the president, and he said, how'd you guys do this? We had a brainstorming. Oh, yeah, and then we built a prototype. What if everybody did that, right? We all learn to read and write. Why don't we all learn to make things? Why don't we have makerspaces? And in fact, I brought down this little cool robot. The Muscogee Creek tribe in Oklahoma is teaching robotics from pre-K in Head Start, right? So why don't we have the robot play music in preschool? And then we could understand that things work like that and that we could do them, we could design things. This is a real new toy I just found. These are these little bots, and you hold them up to the screen and you program them and you make them play around. You know, play is the beginning of design. The 4-H kids and the Future Farmers America kids all had a UAV contest in October. There's 4 million kids in that program. And so, you know, how do we pull everybody into the confidence of making and playing and being a part of the future so that they'll bring the topics they want to work on? So some people are using machine learning and artificial intelligence for advertising optimization, for self-driving cars, those things. What topic are you interested in? And how can you bring all the tools of the universe to it? Not only storytelling and writing and media and those pieces, but also technology, science, invention, collaboration, any of the tools that are out there that we could use. I wanted to pop this one up because one of the components of Tech Hire is the regional teammates. So there's employers who are incredible, who, you know, are starving for tech talent, for user interface designers, for product managers, for digital marketers, for those who want to work in these new economy jobs. And they're all over the country. The employers there from hospitals and agriculture, retail, as well as the tech sector itself. And so people, companies need you. They need more Americans into those jobs. And what's interesting on the regions that have a growing tech sector, every tech job generates about 5 more jobs, according to Enrico Moretti's research. 2 white collar, 3 blue collar. So it really brings money to the region in ways that are really important. So how do we make sure that all the employers, whether they're startups or big companies, are getting who they need and that people are in? And so the employers have really stepped up. Who are some employers who are here? Great, thank you very much. And these folks are doing, and many like them, there's 1,500 employers in Tech Hire already who are doing the work to make sure that they can hire as many of the 2-year and 4-year degree holders as we generate, but there's just not enough of those. So we'll take as many of those as we can, and let's use the incredible boot camps and short course training programs that we have. So who's from a boot camp or a training program? Great, online programs, offline programs, student programs, prison programs, veteran programs, all around. You guys are all doing that, weeks, not years, to pull people in. The Social Security Administration team just had 100 feds go through Code Bootcamp with Iron Yard. So inside of government, we're using tech hire in really exciting ways. We're hoping other agencies want to ramp that so that we can kind of build up the tech community and upgrade the talent skills there using these things. This is one that I wanted to share, which is the regional teammates. The president was going to Boise, Idaho. And we wondered how many tech meetups there are. There are hundreds of tech meetups all around. And as Ryan was saying, it's almost like the communities hide in plain sight, right? So there's these techies who are doing their TEDx and Burning Man and hackathons and all this stuff. And nobody knows, half the community doesn't know what I just said. And they're talented too. So how do we have them use these methods as much? And how do we have the tech folks also bring their talents into other topics? And so this was just pure tech meetups in Boise, Idaho. This one has almost 800 people in it. There's Girl Develop It. I know the Girl Develop It people. Are you guys here? Yes. So Girl Develop It is communities of women who are learning coding or already ahead. And you guys just get together. These guys get together, I think, twice a week and just co-code. In a space, just fun. You could meet at the library, you could meet at a coffee shop, you could meet at someone's house, whatever. User interface groups and test groups and Linux groups and UX groups and Python groups and .NET groups. And I mean, this is really happening, and this is Boise, and you can look at any part of our country and find these people meeting. So how do we use this? And so that's the regional teammates. So when you think about tech hire, it's, as I said, the employers who just are here, the bootcamp teammates. Who's here from regional or national teammates? Those who are sort of organizing us or meet up or already in this world. I know we're going to talk a little bit more about TechUp, who's here and doing coach. Yes, so we've got people here from those groups. And then this third one, our municipal leadership, our incredible state, local, federal government teammates and those. Yeah, who's here from those groups? Yes. And sort of facilitating and interconnecting and really, in some ways, upgrading the budgets. Sometimes I was coming up from the New York Penn Station, and I looked up at the post office building that's beautiful there, and chiseled up there it says, I think it's not heat, not snow, not rain, not gloom of night shall stop the carrier, right? It doesn't say use the Pony Express. We did use the Pony Express. It was awesome. It's one of my favorite things we ever did. And guess what? How long do you think the Pony Express lasted? Before the telegraph disrupted it? 18 months. So, you know, we as a government constantly upgrade, and we just have to know that status quo is a policy decision, and not upgrading is a policy decision, and we've got all this money as a country, federal, state, local, making sure that's there, and the leadership that's in this room from our municipal leaders are extraordinary, and they're accelerating their communities. There was a blog post yesterday, I think, with Jeff Zients and the Albuquerque teams. Anybody here from Albuquerque? One of the Department of Labor was using some grants that were from the H-1B visa fees. And so Albuquerque is one of the grant winners. And their four counties represent half of the population in New Mexico. And they have facilitated so that people are coming into tech area like trainings, and they're hyper-focused. Not only anybody can come in, but a lot of work with veterans, with those who've recently come out of prison, foster youth, those disabled, and others who often aren't tracking into tech, pulling them straight in. I just saw Rodney from Atlanta. The Atlanta team has a council that they've pulled together, which is extraordinary, you know, working together, which New York City really innovated the idea of a regional tech hire council that brings this group together all the time. And now many of your cities, if you don't have one, you should have one, because really it takes a network to do this nationally and regionally. And so the leadership that's coming there is really great. And I also know that Albuquerque took up the Kaufman Group's Million Cups of Coffee. And so in the same way as sort of this meetup idea, they, every Tuesday and Wednesday, companies present. No, every Wednesday and Thursday, companies present. And they do English on Wednesday, Spanish on Thursday, and nonprofits on Tuesday. It's just have a cup of coffee, hear from two organizations, companies, nonprofits, whatever it is. And they're really mixing up the city in a really great way that really works. And so we have all that we need in our regions. We just need to kind of take our neighbors to work day. We need to like think a little bit about a potluck of all the resources. It's a barn raising. Like, these are things that we know how to do. We've done them for hundreds of years. as an American community, and now that's this time. And it really does relate to me noting the AI report, because we really are transitioning. None of us have oxen and plows. We've been through transitions before. We are in a transition to a much more digitally enhanced world. And so we want everybody in on participating and have the confidence that Ryan really started with. So I'm just going to run through a couple fast slides of other things. These are these incredible kids, you know, the Mark Zuckerbergs of this moment, the 13-year-olds. They are doing a hackathon with Black Girls Code. Olivia had done this great little app game that's up on the App Store. Kimura did this. She was working on domestic violence, and she made an app that lets her phone listen to the room. And if it hears things that shouldn't be going on, it asks you if you would like to call the police. What an amazing idea, right? Or other resources. You know, the kids, if they can do this stuff, we all know, you know, to Ryan's point, if you get to do, practice makes permanent. You know, we need to teach math and science like we're doing art and music and PE, and people are starting to do that across the country. We've got Computer Science for All, and this can be at all age levels. That's why the new makerspaces in libraries and in rec centers and around the world are really exciting, because it's not so much the tech, it's about curiosity and grit and teamwork and critical thinking, joy and play, empathy, purpose. These things that we learn by teaming up, and it isn't just tech, it'll be art, user interface design, communications, digital, all of this stuff that works together, because the universe doesn't separate the subjects, even though our schools have bells. That's not really true. So one of the greatest things that a community can get involved in is National Day of Civic Hacking. And people really do get together in all these cities every June, and they do it more than that. Some of them are promise zones. It was really great to see, I think it was Wichita, was on TV several days before the hackathon inviting the community. And a hackathon is just a sprint, right? It's just people who know different parts, as Dennis, the chief of staff, the president says, we see different parts of the elephant, come together and say, I think we could solve this problem in this interesting way. Why don't we sprint in this way? Why don't we make a dashboard of this or that? Whatever it is that you might think might solve a problem, do a quick sprint, and then from that, people may carry that forward in really interesting ways. President hosted the Frontiers Conference and was the editor of Wired Magazine. Really, the future is incredibly exciting on so many frontiers. He focused on five: personal, like personalized medicine and brain initiative and cancer moonshot, you know, things like personalized learning. Local, not only smart cities, smart communities. Here's Raj Chetty and Sandra Moore on stage talking about local data and the things you could know to really solve problems together around justice and economic inclusion. National Frontier President's Chief of Staff and many of our artificial intelligence leaders talking about using machine learning on all of the problems, really digital dividends that we could get by doing that. Global frontiers around climate and mapping data, other things that we might do to understand energy, that world, and then interplanetary as we work on commercialization space and the journey of Mars. So really, this stuff is so interesting. It applies to anything anyone's interested in. How do we pull everyone into this? This was Hack the Pay Gap. Secretary Pritzker from Commerce Leader put up with some Presidential Innovation Fellows and many of the data service that's at the Department of Commerce, pulled together the APIs for a new thing called MIDAS, and now there's hackathons going on top of this data to try to hack the pay gap. These are hard entrenched problems that we have that come from lots of cultural bias of the past. Can we use data science to solve these harder problems together? TechHire can help us do that. More people who are interested in those problems, who are using their tools, can add this capability into their teams, into themselves, so they can use those tools to solve the problem they're trying to solve. This is the Opportunity Project, opportunity.census.gov, the census team working with Department of Ed, Labor, Housing and Urban Development on the hardest problems, outlining economic mobility, housing mobility, access. Can you design for 100% of the Americans with the cool apps that we've got? The president went to South by Southwest and he said, you know, how do I get you to come do a tour of duty in service in the government, state, local, federal? And how do I get you guys working on the hardest problems with your colleagues using these new methods? Kind of teasing, like, I love all the restaurant delivery and, Maybe we could help with opportunity housing for those who are going to take the bus or walk to work. Where's Head Start? You know, not only is it a block score, an opportunity score, interesting to know for like where's the cool coffee shop, but also what is the opportunity for my economic future if I live in this place? What a useful mapping tool. That was from Redfin. Of course, we have extraordinary challenges in the country with policing, justice, equality, work that we're working together. The president led the 21st Century Task Force. So much amazing work is going on across the country. You know, these are all hands on deck efforts where police leadership, community leadership, everybody's working together, and there's a data opportunity here. And so Police Data Initiative is an open data engagement. Grace here is teaching the police chief in New Orleans how to code. There's an amazing conversation going on in New Orleans with the opening of data sets, and the youth and others are involved in the project hands-on, teaming up. And then data-driven justice is a municipal data play, more operational enterprise data. How do we get more people who have mental health, substance abuse challenges out of prison and into other options? And across the country, people are doing really interesting things, and we can scout and scale and use the internet to do this. And this is the amount of people. The dark green means half of the state is already in the data-driven justice and police data initiative communities. And so this is not a tech solution. This is a community teamwork solution that includes tech. Right? TQ, as we call it, tech quotient, like IQ and EQ. And so not leaving this stuff out. And so if you join Tech Hire, you can be one of the employees, one of the leaders, one of the entrepreneurs working on these kinds of problems as much as you might work on robotics or other things. The thing I wanted to just make sure we touch on is the extraordinary stereotypes that threaten us. So there's an idea in our culture that there's technical people and there's not technical people. And we have to get rid of that. Everybody is capable. The Suzuki Method. I don't know if people are familiar with the Suzuki Method. Yeah. So this amazing teacher, I got to see him when he was 92. He was still teaching. He used to teach this violin program that really showed how everyone just through practice made permanent, especially youth, started to play the violin. And he adapted to the child. One time he took that same method, because his theory was all of us learn our own mother tongue to such a detailed level that's proof point that we can learn anything if the teacher is adapting to us, which is what parents and the family communities are doing as children are learning to speak. And so one day he had fourth grade. He said, fourth grade math, he said, every child in my class will get 100% on every test. And he did it. He adapted himself as their teacher. He set the expectation that everyone was awesome in his class, and they could do this, and they were capable, and it was his job to figure out how to get them there. And so I think that's such an opportunity. And so what we know about diversity is that our country has one of the broadest, most incredible strategic advantages because we come from everywhere, whether it was the Native Americans who've been here or those who just stepped off a plane. We won 6 Nobel Prizes this year, all of them immigrants. So we have the opportunity, if we can get over our stereotypes of each other, to drive an incredible economic agenda together, which will be extraordinary for ourselves and for the world. So the data shows that the more diverse the team, just the better the product, the better the economic output, the better the performance of the company. But it's hard work because we have all these stereotypes, bad behaviors, style compliance, all this stuff we live with. You know, this is such a good example in media. When we watch TV, this is a children's television poll. This is boys' lines to girls' lines in children's TV. So if you're a child, when you watch that media, you learn boys talk, girls don't. We have to stop doing that, but we don't even know it's there unless we count it and use data science. So let's use artificial intelligence, data science, machine learning, vision. Who's talking on screen? What's going on? When we grow up, we make this media landscape. This is 2,000 films, men's lines to women's lines. Hey, you've been in this meeting. I've been in this meeting. You say something, people don't hear what you said. A guy says it, they hear him. We have to help ourselves debug this. None of us created this, but we do inherit it, and it hurts us. It slows us down as a country. It slows us down as a team. It slows down your startup. It slows down your company, it slows down your classroom. There's also another challenge in how we tell each other stories. We miss out people, we drop people from the narrative. This is the Macintosh team from Incredible Steve Jobs, right? So I was lucky to be mentored by them later when we worked on smartphones. So I met this team, and when the movie started coming out, I was like, what happened to some of the people I know? They just weren't in the film. So this is the Mac team. It has 7 men, 4 women, a baby. I was talking to Joanna at the Makers Conference, and I was asking her about some of the names of the people who signed the product. So they really were there. And there's lots of women's names there. And yet, when the movie started coming out, the men on these photos had speaking roles in the Mac section, and the women were missing. They weren't in the cast. It was weird, because we had worked with them. They were our mentors. And Joanna recently was in the most recent one. Kate Winslet won the Golden Globe for playing her. But there's microaggression or micro things in there that are off, because Joanna is from Eastern Europe. She's a physics grad from MIT. She's totally intense. She's the product leader. She used to spar with Steve, and they'd invent and do things together. She came out of the film, and her son said, Mom, did you really iron Steve Jobs' shirt? And she's like, Jeremy, I've never ironed a shirt in my life except once for you when we were late. So like, we just write these stereotyped narratives. They're wrong. It's debilitating for everybody because it teaches us to treat each other in ways that aren't real, aren't necessary. And so, you know, our country really does have founding mothers and fathers, and it has everybody who did it together. This is Susan Kerr. She is the graphic design, Chicago font. Everything that we see on our phones today really roots back to the amazing things that she was able to accomplish. And Joanna told me when the Xerox PARC team came to see the Mac for the first time, they're staring at the screen and saying, how did you do this? How much memory is, how did you do this? And that was Susan and Bill working together, back end, front end, who made that happen. But the line in the movie, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did this, Susan did the bags. Did Susan do the bag, or is her work in the Whitney? And so our girls and boys need to know all of these things so that we can move forward, because there really were 4 women in space. And so we don't have to have just 1 woman in the cast all the time. Katherine Johnson won the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I hope you'll go see the movie Hidden Figures. It's about this story. It's extraordinary. She calculated trajectories for Alan Shepard, John Glenn, and Apollo. No one knows that an African-American woman is the mathematician behind that, and now they will. So it's exciting, and we're changing, and we're adapting, and we're doing this work, and it's happening, and we're telling these untold stories of everybody. The president is doing the same work that I'm talking about tech in our own government, whether it's getting kids data about college loans and those things, and that work that's starting to appear out through APIs and cool apps. This is happening all over the world. We were just in Paris for the Open Government Summit. The Open Government Partnership was started by President Obama and several other countries. Now it's now actually 75 countries, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Jamaica, a bunch of others just joined. It's civil society and techies all working together. I wanted to, it's people working on sustainable development goals, doing solution summits. And this is some images. These are images from this world we're moving into, the beginning of digital, open, data-driven, collaborative government. This was a hackathon at the palace in Paris. The president of France came back and he walked the tables. It was cool to be in the palace a couple hundred years after the civil code was written, that is the roots of much of our democracy, with the civil code. And the coders were working together with all kinds of people. There's a Romania team on a pitch platform on things they're working on in this government. This is the Indonesia team. They have very complicated elections. Usually have to vote for about 150 items. And so they've made an API to really help people in their voting booth be much more capable. So that's very interesting. Ukrainian leadership, as they were challenged, many of the business folks came into government. This is a guy called the hipster minister from Ukraine. But people, now we have an app store-like thing up in the open government toolbox, full of stuff from different countries. Us, we have an open source policy. We're starting to see that at state and local and city. So Tech Hire is about getting people into the open jobs, but it's really about confidence. Right, it's really about coming into this world where you have coding, just like the President's Computer Science for All initiatives. It's coding and computational fluency. And you may choose not to be a coder, even if you do Tech Hire. You may choose to be a product manager. to be an artist. So there's many pieces, but we don't take freshman biology because we all want to be biologists. I love biology. But we need to know that because we need to understand ecosystems. We need to understand our body in order to be healthy, to understand for our family, for our children, for our parents, for our community. We need to understand how the environment works and the microbiome and these things. We can't have these concepts be unknown by us. And so in the same way, President was at the Pittsburgh Frontiers Conference saying we want that critical thinking and that computational thinking. We want that to be a 21st century basic that everybody has. And so that's really what's happening as we have this incredible internet that's wiring us to be able to work quicker together, have communities of practice of peer-to-peer learning like Girl Develop It or whatever, and have it be fun and extraordinary and confidence building, which is what really TechHeart is about, everybody in. So I'll end there where I started, which is far and away the best prize that life has to offer is the chance to work hard at work worth doing. And each person will have their own sense of what that is. And so how do we use TechHeart and these incredible opportunities to really empower each other and bring it every day together and really adapt our culture so that the culture in tech and the culture of techifying everything else are really more confident and inclusive of everybody and what we would bring together. So thank you very much for being here and for your leadership. And I look forward to the rest of the summit. And I mean, it's extraordinary who's here and what you will share and what you will bring forward. The TechUp team, Leanne's in the back, are organizing summits all around and a roadshow. Opportunity at Work, where are you guys? As a national teammate, you know, who's here. And so this is really a movement. And so even though some of us are going to transition to our next thing, this is a bipartisan thing. It's a thing we got to get done. And it's taken root in over 70 cities and communities. San Diego just joined. We had 20 more join this month. And so I just encourage you, keep that network effect going. One of my favorite people is George Washington Carver. And more than 100 years ago, he went into the lab in the same kind of TechHeart way and figured out how to rotate crops in a way, and what product would be in the money that would nitrogen fix the soil because we were malnourished and people were going to start starving, came up with some solutions and got this Jessup wagon. Someone in Newark funded him and went corner to corner and upgraded the ag tech capabilities of Americans, 2,000 people a month, right? And that began the ag extension. So we've seen this movie before. It's the same thing. This is the tech extension, that's you guys. And so we can use those spaces. There's an office in every county in the Ag Extension. There's a library everywhere from Carnegie. There's spaces in our schools and rec centers, now tech centers and maker spaces and all this stuff. So we got plenty of spaces we could upgrade. And so we are Tech Extension, just like Ag Extension. And above Secretary Vilsack's desk is Carver and Secretary Wallace, who did that in their day. So they hand the baton to you. So thank you very much.